déclare ouverte la 97e séance plénière de l'Assemblée générale.
I now declare open the meeting of the General Assembly. And we will review item 119 of the agenda entitled The Strategy of the United Nations. I now give the floor to the representative of Saudi Arabia.
سيد الرئيس أعرف أن
Madam President, I know that we are competing with the Netherlands-Spain football game, but I welcome this great sacrifice that all the people here in this room are making under these difficult circumstances, and I welcome you all into a game of another type. Here I would like to thank His Excellency Ambassador Shafit, the permanent representative of Turkey to the United Nations, and his team for supporting the efforts of the fourth review of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy. I would like to express my deep regret of the terrible events that have occurred in Iraq, including the forcible entry and hostage taking at the consulate of Turkey, taking of hostage of families, many civilians that were employed there, and in energy plants and the other acts of terrorism that occurred. We truly hope that the hostages will return safely to their countries and their families as soon as possible. My country deplores the terrorist attacks that took place in Pakistan that led to more than 30 deaths. This, in addition to the heavy count of the injured. These tragic events increase our unity in combating international terrorism. Madam President, I would also like to say that my country supports the principles presented by the permanent representative of Egypt on behalf of the OIC. My country believes that terrorism is one of the most dangerous challenges facing the international community today. Combating terrorism is no longer a national issue. Now, it is a goal for the international community as a whole. My country has suffered from terrorism, but it has undertaken many measures that are so necessary to overcome this dangerous scourge. Nationally, regionally, and internationally, we have searched and implemented the pertinent international resolutions and those of international law to end financing and protection of those who perpetuate terrorist attacks. We have responded to all the international committee's calls to combat terrorism, and we have implemented all resolutions to this end and have acceded to all conventions regarding terrorism. Acceding to these conventions must be accompanied by true action in combating this scourge. Madam President, I would like to reference the report of the Secretary General on the efforts of the United Nations in implementing the UN strategy. A/68/841. This report contains many measures especially paragraphs 10 to 19, which describe a permanently increasing phenomenon despite all the efforts we have undertaken. The most dangerous remains individual terrorists and foreign terrorist combatants. Foreign terrorists who are well organized could also be added to this list. This is why my country was at the head of those dealing with this question from a legal point of view and to implement measures to incriminate those who travel abroad to participate in terrorist attacks, no matter the region concerned, without forgetting those who are the instigators of these acts, even if it is from further those who live farther away from those countries where the acts are perpetuated. Those in authority in Saudi Arabia are undertaking many measures to combat terrorism. Mohammed bin Nayef, this is a center that is now an information center in this area to decrease issues of extremist ideology. This is an example that could be replicated in other countries. This issue must be dealt with in a holistic way and not just in a security. This is how we could respond to the needs to respect human rights at the international and regional level. My country works in all international fora, and especially through my country's presidency at the Consultative Center of the United Nations for Combating Terrorism, which is close to completing its work. We have declared our support of $100 million, which is in addition to the $10 million that had originally been promised. We are firmly convinced that this center plays a significant role, one that is more and more important in the UN system. It is a center that many countries have hailed and begins to come into its own in this role in strengthening the capacities to combat terrorism. This consultative council offers political support and the necessary counsel in order to accomplish the goals that have been laid out. And here we call upon every country to support the center, not only financially, but also with human resources, training, and the means to facilitate service being offered to every country in the world. My country has supported many international initiatives, such as the role of the Global Counterterrorism Forum, and we are a member of this forum, and we contribute to its works. We welcome the efforts of the United Nations, notably the subsidiary committees of the Security Council for Combating Terrorism, including that of 1540 and others. And Madam Kimberly Prost, the Ombudsman plays a very significant role in this fight. As we have seen recently, we truly need to transform this role of mediator, ombudsman, to a permanent position. The regrettable events that we saw last year, especially the tragedy that have happened recently, show that concentrating on a security-based solution without taking into account other dimensions will not resolve the issue of terrorism. On the contrary, this phenomenon could seem to be vanquished, but then reappear with greater vigor in another location. We must combat terrorism in a holistic manner. And here I cite, quote, the report on human rights. In combating terrorism, we must ensure that we are not creating more dangerous terrorists than those that we are already combating. Thus, the importance of the rule of law, development, education, dialogue, and combating occupation. These are the tools that are the most effective to root out this problem. Madam President, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has condemned terrorism, and thus it has insisted on the difference between terrorism and the right of peoples to self-determination and their fight for sovereignty, fight against foreign occupation. Terrorism, no matter its form or manifestation, is to be condemned, but this also includes state-sponsored terrorism against unarmed innocents. Many resolutions from the United Nations have noted this reality. There is a clear distinction between terrorism, which is a criminal act, and one of the legitimate faces of war on the one hand, and fight against occupation on the other. This is a legitimate fight based on the right to self-determination and a right that is enshrined in the UN Charter, in international law, and in the principles of these rights. Today, more than ever, we need to agree upon a definition of terrorism. We must take serious measures to adopt a universal convention to combat terrorism and coordinate the efforts of the United Nations, unify these efforts, and join those entities that work to combat terrorism to better utilize financial resources and to protect innocent civilians. We must not forget that the worst form of terrorism is that states practice against their own citizens. War crimes, an offense against citizens, to intimidate them, to cause them fear. Toxic weapons, chemical weapons used against civilians are a form of state terrorism. Those that go against international commitments and conventions. And this continues to this day. These criminal activities have caused silos that are getting larger and larger, locations where terrorists and mercenaries feel at home. My delegation has insisted more than once on dealing with these major causes of terrorism, and one of the greatest reasons for terrorism that leads to an increase in terrorism, not only in my region, but in the entire world. Thank you, Madam President. I thank the permanent representative of Saudi Arabia for her statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Cameroon.
Madam President, allow me to take the floor in this very important debate on the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. And right from the start, we'd like to thank the Secretary General for the report that he has submitted to us for consideration. It's extremely well prepared. We'd also like to congratulate the permanent representative of Turkey, who very successfully conducted discussions on the draft resolution on this question. And the resolution will be adopted at the end of our consideration. Cameroon, once again, would like to express its vigorous condemnation of terrorism in all its forms and manifestations. Especially in connection with the taking of hostages, acts of piracy, or attacks against men and material. We note with great concern that terrorism continues to be a serious threat to international peace and security. In order to be successful in our struggle against terrorism and crimes that go across borders, we in Cameroon are thinking of a worldwide strategy against terrorism, and this must be the basis of a consensus. It must be integrated and well-balanced. And it's important at the same time that we respect the United Nations Charter and international law. In particular, we must respect the principles of international sovereignty, territorial integrity, and non-interference in the internal affairs of states. Cameroon is firmly committed to the fight against this scourge by national measures. We need national and international measures. With this in mind, our presidency, Mr. Paul Bien, has taken recently an active part in the Paris Summit Conference on Security in Nigeria on the 17th of May, 2014. During that summit conference, he stated that he was waging war against the Boko Haram group that has incited people to terrorism, motivating them to practice intolerance. Our government has acted very effectively and firmly as we've liberated French, Italian, and Canadian hostages taken by Boko Haram in the northern part of our country. He committed his efforts and joined with neighboring countries, Nigeria, and the international community, to combat this terrorist sect. In addition, our country was represented yesterday on the 12th of June, 2014, at another summit conference, which was held in London. We hosted the 50th regular session of the Council of Ministers of the Commission of Lake Chad on the 5th of December in Yaoundé under the trans-border guidance, and we faced challenges and opportunities. In our struggle against piracy to promote safety and shipping safety in the Gulf of Guinea, Cameroon was chosen to host the International Center of Coordination created during the Heads of State meeting in June 2013 in Yaoundé. This will soon enter into its operational stage. I should emphasize that during this meeting, the heads of state and government adopted important documents which are devoted to the strategy against and struggle against terrorism and piracy and armed theft in the Gulf of Guinea. We adopted a political declaration, a memorandum of understanding, and a code of conduct. Cameroon would emphasize that the Committee Against Terrorism and its executive directorship and other partners are committed to helping member states who make requests in order to fight effectively against terrorism. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank the permanent representative of Cameroon for his statement. In accordance with Resolution 48/5 of 13 October 1993, I now give the floor to the observer of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe.
Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is the fourth time the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE, has been given an opportunity to present at this forum for its efforts in supporting the implementation of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. Needless to say, the invitation to participate at the General Assembly's biennial review was yet another confirmation of the importance and depth of the partnership between our two organizations. But more than this, the OSCE's presence today is an evidence that regional organizations maintain a well-defined role and a well-received mandate in supporting their participating states in activities to translate the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy into action. Foremost, let me reiterate the message that I conveyed to you almost 2 years ago. The OSCE Transnational Threats Department remains committed and a reliable partner working on the integration of programmatic priorities that support the process of implementing the UN counterterrorism strategy among our 57 participating states and 11 partners for cooperation. Although the primary obligation rests with the states, we have every confidence to believe that the variety of OSCE expertise and wide scope of its capacity building on anti-terrorism, border security, cybersecurity, human rights, policing, and many other areas significantly contribute to the success of the global counterterrorism efforts at our regional level. To make these efforts more efficient, systematic, and sustainable, OSCE participating states adopted, since the 2012 UN review at the end of 2012 in Dublin, the OSCE Consolidated Framework for the Fight Against Terrorism. This unique document clearly highlights operational principles and identifies the strategic focus of future OSCE counterterrorism activities. Drawing on the Consolidated Framework's priorities supporting the United Nations, our activity has been organized to promote the implementation of the international legal framework against terrorism, to strengthen travel document security, to counter violent extremism and radicalization that lead to terrorism, to counter the use of the Internet for terrorist purposes, and to help build public-private partnerships. Moreover, the framework provides us the vision to consider new and emerging trends, which we have undertaken this year with the Swiss chairmanship of the OSCE. The OSCE participating states have committed to placing specific emphasis on the strategic area of promoting protecting human rights and fundamental freedoms in the context of counterterrorism measures, which will be illustrated further in these remarks through the work of the OSCE Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, ODIHR, consistent with and supportive of Pillar 4 of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy in embodying its commitment to measures to inspect for human rights for all and the rule of law as the fundamental basis is the fight against terrorism. Perhaps most importantly, the Consolidated Framework for the Fight Against Terrorism highlights the need to further coordinate our efforts internally and to cooperate externally with relevant stakeholders to counter terrorism. Internally, our Transnational Threats Department acts as the focal point of coordination in the Secretariat to ensure all elements of our strategy are included. Externally, the OSCE pays particular attention to cooperation with stakeholders of the international community, recognizing the leading role of the United Nations. In other words, we value our close relationship with the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force and its associated entities and today's opportunity to highlight areas where we see even greater collaboration. The essence of the effective support and tailor-made assistance offered by the OSCE to its participating states lies in the combination of actions by the OSCE Secretariat, institutions such as ODIHR, and 16 field operations that serve as an ear to the ground aimed at facilitating communication and strengthening cooperation with the host countries and of the strategic priorities identified by the Consolidated Framework. Some examples: the OSCE has successfully supported its participating states in their implementation of the Universal Anti-Terrorism Instruments, currently 19. We have a strategic partnership and joint action plan with the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, to ensure that our support is coordinated and complementary. The Terrorism Prevention Branch and our experts share many ideas and activities throughout the OSCE region. The high ratification rate allows the OSCE as one of the first organizations to focus on streamlining and reinforcing preventive measures that are related to the international legal framework against terrorism, but not detailed on it. Such efforts focus on, for example, promoting cooperation and strengthening control mechanisms of legally used explosives and its precursors, or in facilitating the exchange of information at an early stage to counter preparatory acts of terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, as the head on anti-terrorism issues within the OSCE, I would like to share with you significant activities that are in line with the four pillars of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy as outlined in the UN report of the Secretary General and consistent with other elements of the CTITF matrix of counterterrorism projects and activities in Report A/68841 dated 14 April 2014. Cooperation with the UN and participation of various other experts at the 2014 annual OSCE-wide counterterrorism conference organized with the Swiss OSCE chairmanship recently in Interlaken, Switzerland, was a good practical example of sharing information and experience. These OSCE conferences have become an important annual cross-dimensional discussion forum on current counterterrorism issues and benefited from close OSCE-UN cooperation with the CTITF, including remarks by the Executive Directorate of the Counterterrorism Executive Directorate, CTED, and sessions supported by national experts as well as partners such as the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, European Union, Council of Europe, and the International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol. Summarizing the results of the debates, the Swiss chairmanship presented its conclusion, specific recommendations focused on financing of terrorism, kidnapping for ransom, ensuring legality, transparency, and accountability in counterterrorism, responding to the phenomena of individuals taking part in violent hostilities within or outside the OSCE area, i.e. foreign fighters. And we expect to work closely with our UN colleagues on the next steps, especially in the light of the United Nations efforts in all these areas. Also, one of the areas also highlighted in Interlaken and elsewhere in the OSCE's work is protecting the public from terrorism as a major, highly scrutinized, and challenging task which requires a more systematic approach. That is why in the field of countering violent extremism and radicalization that lead to terrorism, we have launched jointly with the OSCE Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, ODIHR, and the Transnational Threats Department Strategic Police Matters Unit, a guidebook on preventing terrorism and countering violent extremism and radicalization that lead to terrorism, a community policing approach. It is primarily intended for policymakers and senior professionals, but may be also useful for civil society with an interest in these issues, in particular for community leaders. We are in close contact with the UN CTAD on possible ways to promote this approach. Another initiative we are pursuing jointly with the Global Counterterrorism Forum is to advance the roles of women in countering violent extremism and radicalization that lead to terrorism. We held last month in Istanbul a workshop with civil society stakeholders to identify good practices and lessons learned in supporting their efforts to empower women to contribute in different capacities. We will have a follow-on workshop for government experts in October this fall in Vienna. On the basis of both of these events, we expect the GCTF will draft a good policy practice document on gender mainstreaming and countering violent extremism. We see this initiative as supporting the spirit of United Nations Security Council Resolution 2129, which reaffirmed the Council's intention to increase its attention to women, peace, and security issues in all relevant thematic areas of work on its agenda, including in threats to international peace and security caused by terrorist acts. Besides the above-mentioned OSCE-GCTF joint endeavor, strengthening the rule of law, compliant criminal justice responses is another area of our OSCE-GCTF collaboration. In this regard, the OSCE and GCTF plan to organize three national workshops in Southeastern Europe and Central Asia intended for criminal justice practitioners in order to ensure a coherent approach. Be assured that the training workshops will be closely coordinated with other relevant international organizations. A first contact on this training has already been established with UNCTED. Besides the programmatic work above, the OSCE since 2012 is invited to take part in the GCTF's Criminal Justice and Rule of Law and the Countering Violent Extremism Working Groups due to their relevance to the work of the OSCE in the field of countering terrorism. Next, in the field of travel document security, let me also mention that the OSCE has continued to assist its participating states throughout the OSCE region in preventing terrorist movements across borders while strengthening border management. Key to these efforts is that the documents, related issuing procedures, and border inspection tools meet international standards and specifications as set out by the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO. Cooperation between OSCE and ICAO is strong, and both organizations work together on various capacity-building activities. It's worth noting that OSC travel document security activities complement UN efforts focusing on the implementation of UN Global Counterterrorism, UNSCRs 1373 and 1624. We are also supporting relevant UN structures with planning regional counterattack activities related to border control and security in Central Asia. Over the last several years, cybersecurity has also emerged as an increasing concern to OSC participating states. In the field of countering the use of the Internet for terrorist purposes, we've organized from 2012 to 2013 four online expert forum discussions to simulate information exchange on the latest trends and debates related to terrorist use of the Internet. In addition, we have in parallel facilitated and organized a series of national seminars which have aimed to facilitate discussions among the public, authorities, experts, and civil society on the national level for promoting a comprehensive understanding of the threat. Since 2005, we have regularly coordinated with UNCTITF, UNCTED, and UNODC in these efforts, and we stand ready to contribute and, if possible, to deepen this cooperation with UN counterparts in the area of cybersecurity. Importantly, the OSC recognizes that security goes beyond political military issues and fully encompasses the security of the individual human being. The OSC regards the respect for human rights and the rule of law as an integral element of security. Combating and ultimately overcoming terrorism will not succeed if the means to do so are not in conformity with human rights standards. ODIHR, as mentioned earlier, assists OSC participating states in strengthening the implementation of their human rights obligations and commitments through monitoring capacity-building activities. In particular, through its human rights and anti-terrorism program, ODIHR assists participating states in developing and implementing human rights-compliant anti-terrorism policies and practices. Some specific examples in support of Pillar 4 of the UN counterterrorism strategy include development of training curriculum for police officers on countering terrorism and protecting human rights, which aims to adopt an operational approach linking the analysis of potential human rights concerns with the daily work and actions of police involved in counterterrorism activities, producing in collaboration with the Strategic Police Matter Units a practical manual for law enforcement officers on human rights and counterterrorism investigations, training of senior border officials on the protection of human rights when countering terrorism at borders in collaboration with the OSCE Border Management Staff College in Dushanbe, Tajikistan, issuing a legal opinion at the request of the government of Tunisia on Tunisian anti-terrorism legislation December 2013 with recommendations aimed at enhancing compliance with international human rights standards, and last, conducting a human rights assessment of the situation of detainees at the Guantanamo Bay Detention Facility. This is in line with ODIHR's objective to support participating states in meeting their commitments to respect human rights in the fight against terrorism. Last, I'd like to highlight a few examples of other multidimensional approaches. We've produced a good practices guide on non-nuclear critical energy infrastructure protection from terrorist attacks. This guidebook has been developed with the involvement of a wide range of government and private business experts from OSCE participating states and international organizations such as the EU and NATO. We were pleased to see that there was a side event on infrastructure earlier this week by the United Nations. Additionally, with our Office for the Coordinator of OSCE Economic and Environmental Activities, we are active in the field of suppressing money laundering and the financing of terrorism. We have a project that will include civil society and UNCTED on nonprofit organizations soon to hold its first event. And another independent institution of the OSCE is the Office of the Representative on Freedom of Media, RFOM, which plays an active role in assisting participating states to recognize the need for free media and free expression as an essential counterbalance to terrorist activity. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to conclude by making three points. First, I would like to restate my appreciation for organizing this highly important review and for giving regional organizations such as the OSCE an opportunity to speak and to update you member states on what we are doing in support of the global efforts of the United Nations in preventing and countering terrorism. I strongly believe that such opportunities to take pause and review progress can only be seen as beneficial and encouraging in further joint efforts. Secondly, I want to reiterate that the OSC stands ready to remain a substantive contributor for enhancing capacity at the national, sub-regional, and regional levels to prevent and combat terrorism and providing a framework for multi-stakeholder dialogue, awareness raising, exchange of expertise, and networking while implementing the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy in the OSCE area. For this, the OSCE would welcome opportunities to participate in relevant CTITF working groups as appropriate and also receive regular updates on the activities undertaken by different activities of the CTITF, thus to ensure continued coordination and collaboration. Thirdly and last, I trust that in 2 years, during the fifth biennial counterterrorism strategy review, we will be even more confident and efficient in transferring a number of positive words expressed today into action, making our world significantly safer and more secure. Thank you, Your Presidency.
I thank the observer of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. In accordance with General Assembly Resolution 44/6 of 17 October 1989, I now call on the observer of the Council of Europe.
Mr. President, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, allow me to join, on behalf of the Council of Europe, all those who have condemned the terrorist act in Mosul and express their solidarity with the Turkish government and the Turkish people. It is an honor for me to address this assembly and to be able to reiterate the commitment of the Council of Europe to support the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy, this landmark, holistic, coherent, and universal framework for international action against terrorism. In 1945, the peoples of the United Nations determined to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of nations large and small. 4 years later, in 1949, the Council of Europe was set up to safeguard respect for human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. The dream of our founding fathers was of one continent, sharing the same spiritual and moral values, which are the common heritage of the European peoples and the true source of individual freedom, political liberty, and the rule of law. Principles which form the basis of all genuine democracy. Terrorism is the antithesis of these values. Back in 1978, the Council of Europe was the first international organization to determine that the prevention and suppression of terrorism is indispensable to the maintenance of the democratic structure of member states. From the outset, the Council of Europe treated terrorist acts as serious, but nevertheless common, crime. Historically, the first counterterrorism measures agreed by the Council of Europe sought to limit the offenses that could be seen as political and therefore be used as a reason to refuse to extradite or prosecute terrorists. Yesterday, the distinguished representative of Turkey underlined the importance of the universal principle of extradite or prosecute, aut dedere, aut judicare. The 2005 Council of Europe Convention on the Prevention of Terrorism broadened the scope of the criminal offenses that could lead to terrorism. The review mechanism of this convention is now functioning. The review of implementation of Article 6, recruitment for terrorism, is ready, and the assessment of Article 7, training for terrorism, is underway. I am grateful to the distinguished representative of the Russian Federation for his comments on the potential of this convention to address new terrorism challenges. To promote international cooperation in criminal matters, The convention modified the existing Council of Europe extradition and mutual legal assistance arrangements, notably by excluding the political exception clause. To date, there are some 33 such instruments and amending protocols, and we have a dedicated expert body working to facilitate their practical implementation. The Council of Europe is active in countering the financing of terrorism, where we have an advanced convention and an efficient regional FATF-style monitoring body, MONEYVAL. This is the convention to which Georgia recently became party, as mentioned by the distinguished representative of Georgia in his intervention. Mr. President, human beings should not fall victim to terrorism. Human rights should not fall victim to terrorism. Terrorists seek to promote a political agenda not through the democratic process, but through spreading fear. Therefore, to neglect democratic values in favor of expediency in suppressing terrorism would mean to give the victory to the terrorists. It is also likely to produce more terrorist recruits than it may stop. Response to terrorism must be respectful of human rights of all those involved and must remain at all times strictly within the boundaries of the rule of law. The 2002 Council of Europe guidelines on human rights and the fight against terrorism introduced measures looking far ahead into the future, such as those on the prohibition of arbitrariness, on the need of lawfulness of anti-terrorism measures, on the absolute prohibition of torture, or on the rules for collection and processing of personal data by any competent authority in the field of state security. The European Court of Human Rights has developed a body of case law relevant to terrorism. The main tenet of its jurisprudence is that strong national security and protection of the population against terrorism are fully compatible with maintaining the democratic safeguards and respect for human rights. The Council of Europe Committee of Experts on Terrorism, Codex Ter, is preparing a database of the relevant case law of the court, which will be available in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, in the broader sense, everything that the Council of Europe does to promote human rights, democracy, and the rule of law addresses the conditions conducive to terrorism. The Council of Europe has endorsed at the highest level of heads of state and government intercultural and interreligious dialogue as a means to ensure that the diversity of European cultures is a source of mutual enrichment, not of conflict. The 2005 summit also committed to a new dialogue between Europe and its neighboring regions, the Southern Mediterranean, the Middle East, and Central Asia. The European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance, ECRI, is a human rights body of the Council of Europe composed of independent experts which monitors problems of racism, xenophobia, intolerance, and discrimination, prepares reports, and issues recommendations to member states. The Council of Europe Framework Convention for the Protection of National Minorities has a monitoring system under which an advisory committee analyzes legislation and practice and provides country-specific opinions and recommendations to improve minority protection. The Council of Europe has adopted a charter on education for democratic citizenship and human rights education. The charter reflects the growing awareness that education is the first-line defense against the rise of intolerance that can lead to violent extremism and terrorism. A 2011 Council of Europe report entitled Living Together, Combining Diversity and Freedom in the 21st Century concluded, and I quote, "Better common life in 21st century Europe depends relatively little on compulsion and much more on convincing people of different cultures and beliefs that they actually need to live together and on finding ways to make that easier." Distinguished delegates, over the years, the Council of Europe developed its comprehensive triad of setting legal standards based on common values, monitoring how they are put into practice, and cooperating with member states to assist them in building their capacity to honor their commitment to respect and fulfill the standards. As a regional organization with 47 member states, the Council of Europe contributes to the realization at regional level of the pillars of the global strategy. We have a particularly close cooperation with the OSCE, which includes an annual coordination meeting on terrorism issues, as well as with the European Union, where we have an overarching memorandum of understanding. We regularly contribute within our geographical and resource constraints to the activities of the UNODC, CTED, the distinguished representative of Serbia who spoke earlier today mentioned a CTED country visit to his country. On that occasion, two of my colleagues participated in the CTED delegation, one from Terrorism Division and another one from Manival. And the visit drew heavily on the results of an ongoing project against money laundering and terrorism financing we had at that time in Serbia, which was a 2.2 million euro, three-year-long Council of Europe, European Union joint project. This, I believe, Mr. President, is a good example of how international organizations and actors can join their forces, work hand in hand towards the same goal. And we, of course, cooperate with CTITF, and I would like to particularly commend CTITF for its contribution to the report of the Secretary General, and in particular for the matrix of projects and events. The Council of Europe is rapidly developing its cooperation with the new, dynamic, and very productive platform, the Global Counterterrorism Forum. I would like to highlight a good practice by GCTF, namely sending out to its members and partners regular updates, including information on upcoming activities. In this cooperation, the Council of Europe shares with others our experience and lessons learned, and we learn from others. To give one example, in May 2013, the Council of Europe hosted in Strasbourg a conference on special investigation techniques co-organized with CTED, OEC, and the League of Arab States. The conference gave an impetus to Codex Terre, who is now undertaking to review a Council of Europe recommendation on this topic in order to take into account the latest technological developments. Mr. President, the heads of state and government of the Council of Europe at their summit in Warsaw confirmed forcefully, and I quote, that terrorism is unjustifiable under any circumstances and in any culture, end of quote. Today, the first operational paragraph of the very substantial text that will shortly become United Nations General Assembly resolution condemns terrorism in all its forms and manifestations committed by whomever, wherever, and for whatever reasons. These words were probably the most often reiterated text of the draft resolution in statements made yesterday and today from this rostrum. I would like to conclude by echoing the words of the distinguished representative of China. Let us join hands and fight this scourge. Thank you for your attention.
I thank the observer of the Council of Europe. I should now like to consult members with a view to giving the floor to Mr. Taleb Rifai, Secretary General of the World Tourism Organization. If there is no objection, may I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly, and without setting a precedent, to invite Mr. Taleb Rifai, Secretary General of the World Tourism Organization, to make a statement at this meeting. Is so decided. In accordance with the decision just taken, I now give the floor to Ms. Taleb Rifai, Secretary General of the World Tourism Organization.
Mr. President, ministers, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to have the opportunity to address you on the behalf of the UNWTO, the World Tourism Organization, as you meet for the fourth biennial review of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy. Excellencies, travel and tourism has become today a central global phenomenon. In 2013, 1,087,000,000 international tourists traveled the world in one single year. That is one out of seven of the people of the world making an international trip every year. That's in addition to 6 billion tourism trips registered domestically within national boundaries every year. By 2030, the UNWTO forecasts that 1.8 billion international tourists will be conducted in one single year. That is indeed very far from the mere 25 million that took an international trip back in 1950. In doing so, travel and tourism industry creates today 1 out of 11 jobs all over the world, generating $1.4 trillion in direct export earnings, representing 9% of total contribution to world GDP and 30% of total export in services. This is indeed the age of travel. But that's precisely why it's important for me to be here with you this afternoon. Travel and tourism infrastructure, both the human and physical infrastructure, is today very vulnerable and tempting targets for tourist terrorism attacks. And the terrorists know that very well. They know that they can inflict economic damage. They know that they can inflict political damage. They can do that by attacking travelers and tourism infrastructures. We were just reminded recently of examples like the airport in Karachi or the mall in Kenya, Nairobi. It is therefore very necessary to focus ever more on travel security measures and strategies, protecting both visitors and the host community. Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the UNWTO, as the United Nations Specialized Agency responsible for the promotion of sustainable and universally accessible tourism, is fully engaged in the international effort aiming at maintaining tourism security. The UNWTO is partnering with the UN system to effectively respond to member states' call for travel security and the modernization of border management systems, facilities, and institutions at the national, regional, and international levels, as they are all very critical to ensure that people continue to travel, but travel safely. The UNWTO is furthermore quite a unique UN agency, as it encompasses more than over 400 non-governmental affiliate members from the tourism sector across different elements of the tourism value chain. This allows us to facilitate the link with the relevant players in the private sector to better assess and mitigate the risks related to tourism. Excellencies, the responsible development of tourism means addressing security issues at the very early stage, not only from the perspective of resilience and sustainability, but also, very importantly, from the perspective of care, responsibility, and respect for human rights, security, and dignity. It is within this framework that the UNWTO has been working with the UN system, particularly with the CTC, the CTITF, which we have become very much a member of, UNODC, ICAO, among many other UN agencies. I'd like at this point to highlight just a few points in that context. One, while security is crucial for healthy and sustainable travel and the tourism sector, it has become also clear that tourism is a very important development pillar for many countries around the world, promoting economic growth, reducing poverty, and creating millions of jobs. Therefore, it is very important as well to recognize the fact that while travel and tourism needs security, social, economic stability, and the security associated with the economic growth that tourism brings is also very important to preserve. Two, security issues are often given as reasons for cumbersome immigration and border procedures. Yet, very often the processes are simply not aligned with nowadays travel flows and security concerns. Intelligent and state-of-the-art use of technology for friendly and smooth travel facilitation, respectful of human rights and dignity, can and must go hand in hand with effective high-level security measures. Security and openness are not a zero-sum game. Three, member states have clearly indicated that tourism is often not properly addressed in national emergency plans and is only tackled most of the times when an incident with major consequences have already occurred. It is important, therefore, that proactive and preemptive and not reactive strategies be adopted in this regard. 4, last but not least, joint efforts and actions at regional and international level must be put in place to produce international standards, guidelines, manuals, and best practices. The prospective work of UNWTO with CTC and CITTF is a good example of such joint action. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, it is my sincere hope that all of these issues be taken into consideration in the next review of the anti-terrorism strategies. I very much look forward to your discussions, and I trust that they will significantly contribute to the sustainable development of the tourism sector and many other growth-related sectors, and their capacities to contribute to the post-2015 development agenda. I thank you all very, very much. Thank you.
I thank the Secretary General of the World Tourism Organization. We have heard the last speaker in the debate on this item. We shall now proceed to consider draft resolution A/68/50. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Georgia.
Thank you very much, and Mr. President, Excellencies. I would like to, first of all, once again commend the delegation of Turkey for its great efforts during the lengthy process of facilitating this draft resolution. Having consulted with many delegations present in this hall, we came to an understanding that the resolution would be only better off if we make reference to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. And given this understanding, I would like to propose a small amendment to the operative paragraph 30.30, where after mentioning the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force, to put a small clause, entities, comma, inter alia, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. The whole paragraph, I will read it for you, would be as follows. So again, it's operative paragraph 30.30. Notes with appreciation the activities undertaken in the area of capacity building by United Nations entities, including the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force entities, comma, inter alia, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, comma, in a coordination with other relevant international, regional, and sub-regional organizations, to assist member states upon their request in implementing the strategy and encourage the task force to ensure focused delivery of capacity building assistance, including the framework of the Integrated Assistance for Countering Terrorism Initiative. End of quote. I would like to express hope that this small amendment will be met with consent, and the delegations will approve of its inclusion in operative paragraph 13. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. The representative of Georgia has submitted an oral amendment to operative paragraph 30 of draft resolution A/68/L50 to the effect that the words entities inter alia, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, will be inserted after the word, including the counterterrorism implementation task force, that the oral amendment proposed by the representative of Georgia. In accordance with Rule 90 of the Rules of Procedure, the Assembly shall first take a decision on the amendment, oral amendment submit by the representative of Georgia. Does any delegation wish to take the floor in relation to the oral amendment that has just been proposed? I've seen none. May I take it that the Assembly wish to adopt the oral amendment submitted by the representative of Georgia? It is so decided. Since the oral amendment submitted by the representative of Georgia has been adopted, we shall proceed to take a decision on draft resolution A68L50 as a whole and also as orally amended. The Assembly will now take a decision on draft resolution A68L50 entitled The United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy Review, as orally amended. May I take it that the Assembly decide to adopt draft resolution A/68/L50 as orally amended? It is so decided. Before giving the floor to Speaker in explanation of vote, may I remind delegation that explanation of vote are limited to 10 minutes and should be made by delegation from their seat. I give the floor to the representative of Sudan. The representative of Sudan have requested the floor to explain the vote after the vote. I'll now give the floor to the representative of Sudan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Actually, we requested to deliver general statement after the adoption of the resolution. It's not an explanation of what. Thank you.
On behalf of the President of the General Assembly, I should like to express my sincere thanks to Ambassador Halik, Servant of Turkey, who has so ably and patiently conduct the discussions in the informal consultation, and to all member states for their valuable contribution to the successful completion of the draft resolution. I now give the floor to the representative of Sudan. You have the floor now, sir.
I thank you, Mr. President. Allow me at the outset to pay tribute to His Excellency, the permanent representative of Turkey, and his efficient and able team for their tireless efforts exerted during the process of informal consultations of the resolution on the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy Review, which was conducted in a transparent and open manner. My delegation participated actively and constructively in the process, which led into a consensus resolution adopted by the General Assembly this afternoon. Mr. President, in connection with operative paragraph 26 of the adopted resolution, my delegation would like to emphasize the importance of maintaining multilateral efforts in combating terrorism through international and regional cooperation, which contribute positively in promoting efforts and initiatives undertaken at the national level. My delegation strongly rejects unilateral practices imposed by some states, accusing states of sponsoring and supporting terrorism. Such unjustified practices, politically driven by narrow interests, jeopardize the collective wisdom and multilateral efforts in the implementation of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy. My delegation calls upon those states to refrain from those practices which are inconsistent with international law and the principles of the UN Charter. Mr. President, my delegation would like to reiterate its firm commitment to continue cooperating at the UN Forum and regional and sub-regional organizations in combating terrorism in all its forms and manifestations. I thank you, Mr. President.
The representative of Sudan, and I now give the floor to the representative of Turkey.
Mr. President, Excellencies, distinguished guests. As you all know, I have been appointed by the President of the General Assembly to serve as facilitator for the consultations with the member states on the outcome of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy Review on 14th January 2014. As of 10 June 2014, I presented the draft resolution to the President of the General Assembly. On this occasion, I would like to thank the President, Ash, for his confidence in me. Today, I welcome the adoption of the resolution on UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy Review. I would like to thank all my colleagues and distinguished delegates for their kind words addressed to me and my team during the review meeting. I also express our sincere gratitude for the expressions of solidarity on the occasion of the abduction of our colleagues in Mosul. Following my appointment, during the period of almost 6 months in my capacity as the facilitator, I paid visits to many colleagues, received their views and support for the process. I had regional group meetings as well as meetings with the participation of all member states. During the process, transparency and comprehensiveness have been my guiding principles. From the very beginning, I tried to reach out each and every delegation. I believe that each delegation has found equal opportunity to make their voice heard during the negotiations, and the draft resolution reflects this understanding. We came a long way, and we all together made it. I appreciate the spirit of cooperation displayed between colleagues during this process. I believe that this is an essential asset in our work. In that sense, cooperation displayed during the negotiations for producing the draft resolution has been exemplary. The resolution that we have just adopted is not a technical rollover. It is comprehensive and also responds to the new trends and challenges of terrorism that we are facing. This consensus resolution is also a testament of determination of the member states to eliminate terrorism. Once again, I would like to thank all my colleagues and delegates for their hard work and contribution to this process and for their cooperation. I thank you very much.
Once again, I thank the representative of Turkey. May I take it that we are almost at the end, both of the consideration of the item and also the end of the meeting. But several, exactly three representatives, are requested to exercise the right of reply. And may I remind members that statements in the exercise of the right of reply are limited to 10 minutes for the first intervention and to 5 minutes for the second intervention and should be made by delegation from their seats. With that, I give the floor to the representative of the Russian Federation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Russia repudiates the thought invented occupation and terrorism in it to its that was addressed to it. It is unacceptable when under a flag of combating terrorism, as is done in Ukraine, they implement with the support and external support and external blessings from abroad, activities to suppress protests. They use their forces against the civilian population, also supported by radical nationalists. This is an unacceptable type of violence, which will lead to a full-fledged civil war, which is on the path to full-fledged civil war, and nothing less than a crime against their own people. With careful study, it's required from the use of prohibited types of weapons by the Ukrainian side. The idea that Russia is participating in the escalation of tensions is not true. It has not been proven. It's especially unacceptable that there have been complaints that Russia has interfered in the situation in Ukraine by sending armed forces and weapons to the country. I will answer with the words of the President of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin. No armed forces, no Russian instructors, even in the southeast of Ukraine. None of them are there. There are none, and there will not be any. End of quote. We are not sending weapons there either. Also, over the past recent times, we have taken steps to decrease Russian armed forces on our own territory that are close to the Ukrainian border. On the 7th of June of this year, the President of the Russian Federation gave an order to the Federal Border Services of the Russian Federation to strengthen the protection of the border between Russia and the Ukraine. in order to eliminate illegal border crossings. And this is being implemented, which cannot be said for the Ukrainian side in completing their own commitments. Thus, the night of the 13th of June of this year, Ukrainian Marine Forces, a Ukrainian armored vehicle, Ukrainian armed forces violated the state border of the Russian Federation in Rostov region. We consider these actions by the Ukrainian side to be a violation of the basic provisions of international law as an illegal act that will not lead to peaceful regulation of the armed conflict in the southeast of Ukraine. We call on them to end this type of provocation, which is worsening the process that is beginning to restart Ukrainian and Russian dialogue. We are not hiding the fact that our concern with this situation and the increased in violation of basic rights, including those of our citizens in Ukraine whose interests are being violated in the most intolerant manner. On the 2nd of May of this year, in Odessa, ultranationalists burned and killed tens of their own citizens, including the elderly, women, and children, which the Ukrainian mass media kept silent upon. And we are supposed to consider this evil act as one of patriotism. Never has the international community, never will they agree with this cynical description of a crime against humanity. All those who carried out these crimes and war crimes, contravening other norms and humanitarian law in Ukraine, must be brought to justice. Russia calls for immediate end to the armed attacks and the violence, this so-called anti-terrorist, but actually dangerous operation in the east of Ukraine, to draw back troops and move the full implementation by the Ukrainian side of the Geneva Declaration from the 17th of April of this year and the roadmap developed by the current president of the OSCE, the president of Switzerland. We continue to expect these steps from the new government in Ukraine. Mr. President, Russia is a constant foe of terrorism. We will never agree that in combating this challenge, that such operations will take place against civilians, and the authority of the international community will be used for these ends, including that of the United Nations. What the UN should be doing vis-a-vis the actions in Ukraine in order to end the violence and to implement humanitarian tasks and bring should be, as was stated by the Russian Federation in the Security Council, is to study overcoming the radicalization of social and political views that lead to, among other things, violence and terrorism. First and foremost, we're speaking about the spread of extremism and terrorist ideologies under the banner of ultranationalism, neo-Nazism, and fascism. This is a danger that requires being rooted out at the very source, immediately and effectively. Within the framework of these tasks, we must create a unified front that at one time already defeated fascism. What is not allowable is attempts to use Nazism and the extremists that believe in it as a for geopolitical interests. We have already gone through this. And we must all remember what this led to in the 1930s. Thank you for your attention.
I call on the representative of Ukraine.
Thank you, Mr. President, for giving me the floor and the opportunity to reply to the comments of the delegation of Russian Federation. Уважаемые российские коллеги.
Distinguished Russian colleagues. It's truly unfortunate that you were not able to adequately react to the criticism that is coming addressed to you. And this is understanding, seeing as nothing can justify your actions towards Ukraine. Analysis of your actions will be laid out. We already laid these out during our statement, and I won't repeat myself here. We'd like to tell those member states who are gathered here in this room how carefully and perhaps as brothers you are keeping an eye on what's happening in the east of Ukraine, saying who's right, who's wrong, but at the same time are giving weapons and fighters and armored vehicles and even tanks to those fighting against us in the east of the country. The actions that you are calling against the peaceful citizens in Ukraine, I'd like to note the following. It doesn't matter how you describe this operation. Unfortunately, the world is already used to the disinformation that you spread through your television channels. What's important is the goal of this operation, which is to end the terrorist acts by those groups in Donetsk and Lugansk and to ensure peaceful lives for those who live in those regions of Ukraine. And if you feel this peaceful population is using mines, is using anti-aircraft weapons, and if you feel that they are the ones who are capturing people and kidnapping even children and shooting people while they are in jail, then it's very difficult for us to even find something to speak about with you. You say there is no proof. There's an enormous amount of proof, and only those who don't want to see or hear are those who repudiate these facts. You cannot lie, and even though you try to hide this from the entire international community, the General Assembly has already given its verdict on the activities of the Russian Federation in Crimea, and the Security Council has often spoken against the active acts in the east of Ukraine. We call upon you not to interfere. It is our task to fight terrorists on our land, and we are responsible for this, responsible to our own people. As you all said truly in your statement, double standards in combating terrorism are unacceptable. So prove to everyone that your words are not different from what you do.
I call on the representative of Israel.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the past 24 hours, a search has been underway for three Israeli teenagers who are believed to have been taken hostage in an act of terrorism. The thoughts of the Israeli people are with the boys and their families, and we pray that they will return home safely. Israel holds the Palestinian Authority responsible for the well-being of the missing boys. As the ongoing victim of terrorist attack, Israel cannot sit silently and listen to other countries make baseless accusations when they, in fact, harbor and sponsor terrorist groups. In particular, it took a great deal of audacity on the part of the Lebanese delegation to demonize my country, given the countless human rights abuses taking place in Lebanon. Add to this the fact that the newly established Lebanese government includes representatives of an internationally designated terrorist organization, Hezbollah. Before speaking against Israel in these halls, I suggest that the Lebanese delegates take a look at the refugee camps throughout Lebanon, such as Ain al-Hilwa and Nahr al-Barid, where Palestinians are kept in some of the worst conditions in the region and are deprived of any rights. They are subject to violence, discrimination, and economic and social oppression. Before he chooses to launch an attack against Israel, I advise the Lebanese government first to address all the attacks launched by Hezbollah on innocent civilians in Syria. I thank you, Mr. President.
I call on the representative of Russian Federation for the second intervention in right of reply. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Of course, the words and the imagined accusations against Russia, we fully repudiate. We'd only like to draw the attention to that of that person who stated them. Do not hide crimes against your own people as by calling it combating terrorism. Sooner or later, you will have to serve your sentence for this, perhaps in court and in front of the international community and your own honor. Thank you.
I call on the representative of Ukraine for the second intervention. Right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you to my colleague from the Russian delegation. Thank you for your clear message. I just want to say that we are stand ready to be responsible for everything and to make it true for you. It is difficult to comment the words of my colleagues from the delegation of Russian Federation. It is always difficult to have dialogue when your opponent doesn't hear you and doesn't want to hear you. I have nothing to add but to urge once again Russian Federation to leave us alone and let us peacefully build our future. Thank you, Mr. President.
May I take it that it is the wish of the Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 119? Is so decided. No more business on the table. The meeting is adjourned.